看着女孩里扎他妈的吧，跟着地带都比扎拉巴拉巴比里巴拉巴一生人的吗他是真的本身吗这么哪里的怎么想你这么哪里的怎么想你Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All glories to the ascended devotees. All glories to the ascended devotees. All glories to the ascended devotees. Glories to Shri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Texts 13 and 14. Shaunaka uvacha ita pivyahitam raja ishamya paratashava kim anyat pristavam bhuya vayasakim rishim kavim cha Sharaka Uvacha Shaunaka uvacha. Shaunaka said, iti thus, abhivyahitam, all that was spoken, raja, the king, nishamya, by hearing, bhartarishabha, maharaj prediction, kim, what, anya, more. Pishtavan. Did he inquire from him? Bhuyaha. Again. Vyasakim. Unto the son of Vyasadeva. Rishim. One who is well versed. Kavim. Poetic. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Shaunaka said, the son of Vyasadeva, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, was a highly learned sage and was able to describe things in a poetic manner. What did Maharaj Pariksit again inquire from him after hearing all that he had said? Purport. A pure devotee of the Lord automatically develops all godly qualities, and some of the prominent features of those qualities are as follows. He is kind, peaceful, truthful, equable, faultless, magnanimous, mild, clean, non-possessive, a well-wisher to all, satisfied, surrendered to Krishna, without hankering, simple, fixed, self-controlled, a balanced eater, sane, mannerly, prideless, grave, sympathetic, friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. Out of these 26 prominent features of a devotee as described by Krishnadas Kaviraj in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, the qualification of being poetic is especially mentioned herein in relation to Shukadeva Goswami. Presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam by his recitation is the highest poetic contribution. He was a self-realized learned sage. In other words, he was a poet amongst the sages. Text 14. Ita shushu shatam vitvan sutta narha sibhashitum katahari kato darkaha satam sir sadasi chuvam. O learned Sutta Goswami, please continue to explain such topics to us, because we are all eager to hear. Besides that, topics which result in discussion of Lord Hari should certainly be discussed in the assembly of devotees. Purport. As we have already quoted above from Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, even mundane things, if detailed in service of the Lord Shri Krishna, are accepted as transcendental. For example, the epics or histories of Ramayana and Mahabharata, which are specifically recommended for the less intelligent classes, women, shudras, and unworthy sons of the higher caste, are also accepted as Vedic literature because they are compiled in connection with the activities of the Lord. Mahabharata is accepted as the fifth division of the Vedas after its first four divisions, namely Sama, Yajur, Vidik, and Atharva. The less intelligent do not accept Mahabharata as part of the Vedas, but great sages and authorities accept it as the fifth division of the Vedas. Bhagavad Gita is also part of Mahabharata, and it is full of the Lord's instruction for the less intelligent class of men. Some less intelligent men say, the Bhagavad Gita is not meant for householders, but such foolish men forget Bhagavad Gita was explained to Arjuna, a Grihastha family man, and spoken by the Lord in his role as a Grihastha. So, Bhagavad Gita, although containing the high philosophy of the Vedic wisdom, is for the beginners in the transcendental science, and Srimad Bhagavatam is for graduates and postgraduates in the transcendental science. Therefore, literatures like Mahabharata, Puranas, and similar other literatures, which are full of the pastimes of the Lord, are all transcendental literatures, and they should be discussed with full confidence in the society of great devotees. The difficulty is that such literatures, when discussed by professional men, appear to be mundane literature like histories or epics because there are so many historical facts and figures. It is said here, therefore, that such literatures should be discussed in the assembly of devotees. Unless they are discussed by devotees, such literatures cannot be relished by the higher class of men. So, conclusion is the Lord is not impersonal in the ultimate issue. He is the Supreme Person and he has his different activities. He is the leader of all living entities and he descends at his will and by his personal energy to reclaim the fallen souls. Thus, he plays exactly like the social, political, or religious leaders. Because such roles ultimately culminate in discussion of topics of the Lord, all such preliminary topics are also transcendental. That is the way of spiritualizing specific activities of human society. Men have inclinations for studying history and many other mundane literatures, story, fiction, drama, magazine, newspaper, etc. So let them be dovetailed with transcendental service of the Lord, and all of them will turn to the topics relished by all devotees. The propaganda that the Lord is impersonal, that he has no activity, and that he is a dumb stone without any name and form, has encouraged people to become godless, faithless demons. And the more they deviate from the transcendental activities of the Lord, the more they become accustomed to mundane activities that only clear their path to hell instead of return them home back to Godhead. We have a footnote here. Is it up there? I don't think so. Okay, I'll just keep going. Srimad Bhagavatam begins from the history of Pandavas with necessary politics and social activities, and yet Srimad Bhagavatam is said to be the Paramahansa Samhita, or Vedic literature meant for the topmost transcendentalist, and it describes Param Gyanam, the highest transcendental knowledge. Pure devotees of the Lord are all Paramahansas, and they are like the swans who know the art of sucking milk out of a mixture of milk and water. Mukam karoti vachanam pangam langeti kirinyakti shantumam bande siguram tinatana Om agyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshumiritam yena tasvai shigurave namaham. So we've got two big verses today. I'm going to start with 13. 13 is about being poetic. Shukadeva Goswami is poetic. He's kavi. He's poetic. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is also poetic. So we'll talk about how Srila Prabhupada is poetic also. But first I would like to share a verse with you from Uddhava Gita, 11th canto, 7th chapter, verse 44, talking about the speech of a pure devotee. So let's see, it is compared to one of the elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. Which element is the speech compared to. A saintly person is just like water. He's compared to water. Just as one is cleansed by contact with pure water, just by seeing, touching, or hearing such a saintly person, a living entity, is purified. He purifies all those who come in contact with him because he always chants the glories of the Lord. And so if we study the nature of water, we can understand the symptoms of a pure devotee. So the Sanskrit is apam mitram, just like water. It can also be read as agan mitram, which means a saintly person purifies all living entities by accepting them as mitram, or his personal friends. Now, how is his speech like water? Just like pure water is transparent, a saintly person transparently manifests the Lord in his heart. So that's another way that the pure devotee is compared to water. And water makes a most pleasing vibration as it flows. So the sound vibration of the Lord's pure devotee, who is saturated with glories of the Lord, is charming and beautiful. So his speech sounds like flowing water when Prabhupada would speak. His vibration was not part of this world. So his godbrothers also called him Kavi, or poet, because he was so, he wrote beautiful poetry in English. And he was always looking for people, one in a million person, who were interested in perfection. So here's I'll give you some examples of how, and this is, of course, the main example is Srimad Bhagavatam, how beautiful are his purports. But also in his everyday life, he would speak very beautifully. So, and he could speak to anyone, to the insects, to the trees, to the devotees. We heard how he was hearing the birds chant Hare Krishna this morning, Mukhya was saying. And so one time, here's something that in Florida I think many of you are familiar with, is cockroaches. So they found one in the Montreal temple, and Jayapataka Maharaj is telling the story. Prabhupada took the cockroach in his hand, opened the window, and told the cockroach, "Here, I'm giving you the whole world, now enjoy it." And he threw the cockroach out the window. And so he was very poetic, even to a cockroach. And to Gurudas, he was saying, "If I don't forgive you, Krishna will forgive you. And if Krishna doesn't forgive you, then Radharani will." So, about forgiveness. And then they were doing a fire yajna in the Vrindavan temple. In the middle of the yajna, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers leaned over to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, they're doing it all wrong. They're doing it all wrong." And Prabhupada leaned back and looked at him calmly and said, "It's all right. They're just practicing." So, yeah, he could speak. And one time a distressed mother came to Prabhupada and said, "Why are you taking my son away from me?" And Prabhupada answered, "If your son's happy, why should you object?" And so that pacified her. And so he knew how to speak to everyone. So Bhakti Chara Maharaj tells about one middle-aged, well-to-do Indian businessman challenged Prabhupada, "Why are you building new temples when there are so many old temples that need renovation and repair?" So Prabhupada asked the man, "Who is the lady sitting next to you?" The man said, "She's my wife." "So, well, why did you get married?" No answer. "You got married because you wanted to have children. But why have children when there's so many children loitering in the streets?" Just as you want to have your own child, a devotee wants to build a temple, install the deity, and offer the temple to Krishna. So Chivikrama Swami was going to university. Prabhupada asked, "What are you studying at university?" And he said, "Sociology." Prabhupada said, "What does that mean?" "Ah, Maharaj, we study social problems like alcoholism." Prabhupada said, "Yes. They study alcoholism, and after they studied for the day, they say, 'Okay, now we're finished, let's go have a drink.'" So Prabhupada, he saw through everything. And here is a Bengali proverb It is not wise to pick a quarrel with a crocodile while living in the jurisdiction of the water. So I guess for Florida, that would be alligator. Not wise to pick a quarrel with an alligator over here. Okay, so now verse 14. It's glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. So the purport says, Srimad Bhagavatam is said to be Paramahamsa Samhita, the Vedic literature meant for topmost transcendentalists, and it describes Paramgyanam, the highest transcendental knowledge. Pure devotees of the Lord are all Paramahamsas, and they are like the swans who know the art of sucking milk out of a mixture of milk and water. And so in the first canto, seventh chapter, verse 6, we hear, Anarto Pashamam Sakshat Bhakti Yoga Mahukshate Lokasya Janato Vidvang Shatre Satata Samhitam. Satata Samhitam. Paramahamsa Samhitam. And so the material miseries of living entity are superfluous. They're not part of us. They're not part of us. And they can be mitigated by linking process of devotional service. And that's why, because the mass of people don't know about this, so Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, we should be anxious to hear this message. After many pious deeds, you become qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So you must have all done a lot of pious deeds to be here today. To be qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you must have performed lots of pious deeds. I mean, how many Alachua people are here or listening on the radio? Not that many. So, yes. And Prabhupada says in the purport of the second verse of Bhagavatam, the intelligent person with thoughtful discretion, so you have to think about it too, can be assured by the great sage Vyasadeva, he can realize the Supreme Personality directly by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So why are you in class here today? So you can realize Krishna. Not only that, Prabhupada says, without undergoing all these Vedic stages of realization, you can be lifted immediately to the position of Paramahamsa, simply by agreeing to receive this message. So if you just agree to hear Bhagavatam, you can be lifted to Paramahamsa, even though we're not Paramahamsas. But if you just agree to hear Bhagavatam, very, very important. So today I would like to also glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. And I'm going to do it through the words of Sanatana Goswami, the prayers of Sanatana Goswami, to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam and go through his prayers, because his prayers are a wonderful glorification, and it's nice to hear. Why? What is the importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, studying Srimad Bhagavatam? So if you hear these prayers, then you will understand why it's so important to hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. And so the first one goes, Sarvashastabdi Piyusha, O nectar, churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures. So Bhagavatam is the nectar, the Vedic scriptures are the ocean. So if you remember in eighth canto, they're churning the ocean of milk. And so many things are coming out, the moon, Lakshmi, there's so many, not in the nectar, of course, the nectar of immortality. So when the demigods and demons churn the ocean, then they got the nectar. So what happens when you churn the Vedas? When you churn the Vedas, what's the nectar that comes out? Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. So that's the first line of his. Beautiful, many beautiful analogies, so we can understand the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the first one is the nectar, and Sutta Goswami offers obeisances to Shukadeva. Ya Swanubhavam Akila Shuti Saram Ekam. Shuti Saram, the essence of the Vedas, is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. Because it describes the essence. What's the essence of the Vedas? Krishna. If you churn the Vedas, you get Bhagavatam, and that's Krishna. You get Krishna if you churn the Vedas, actually. So as Krishna says in Gita, Vidaischa Sararham Eva Vedya, the purpose of the Vedas is to understand him. So Bhagavatam glorifies Krishna. Therefore, it is the essence of the Vedas. Sarva Vedaika Satphalam. So not only is it the essence when you churn the Vedas, it's the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature. So the Vedas are also described like a desire tree. So the third verse of Bhagavatam, Nigamakapa Taror Kalitam Phalam, Shikamukara Mitadavasam Yatam, Pivata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam, Muhara Hora Sikabu Vipavukaha. So relish Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. So, so we have the Vedas, and so many things are, so many fruits are on the tree of the Vedas, but one of the fruits is very ripe, and that's Bhagavatam. You see, it's the best fruit of the Vedas, too. So, no need to study the Vedas in this age of Kali. We have Srimad Bhagavatam. We have Bhagavatam. So, Sarvasiddhanta Ratnadhyā. So it is the essence of the ocean, it is the ripened fruit, and it's the jewel. It's enriched with jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions. So it's like a treasure chest also. And what kind of treasure do you find in Srimad Bhagavatam is all these conclusions of all the philosophies. Whatever philosophy you may believe in, Bhagavatam is the conclusion. Meaning Vedanta Sutra, commentary of Brahma Gayatri, purport of Mahabharata, it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Sarva Veditihasanam, the essence of Vedic literature and histories, is collected in Bhagavatam. And that's why we should hear Bhagavatam. Whoever tastes Bhagavatam will not be attracted to other literatures. Yeah, that I have experienced that in my life. When I was a child at 7 years old, I was very eager to read all the time. And I would go to the library and get a big stack of books every week. My goal was to read the whole library. But then I got Prabhupada's books. And that was the end of my trips to the library. And I didn't need it anymore. I didn't, you know, there's so many different categories there, but Bhagavatam is eclipsed everything else. And we only had the first canto, but it was enough when I joined. We had first canto, Bhagavad Gita, abridged Bhagavad Gita, and Nectar Devotion just came out. And then after I joined, Krishna Book came out, first volume. So it was enough. I didn't need to go back to the library ever again. So it's true, if you actually taste Bhagavatam, you don't need to read anything else. Sarva Lokaika Drik Prada. Bhagavatam grants spiritual vision to all the people of the world. So in the first canto again, third chapter, verse 44, purport, it talks about how to know Bhagavatam, secret of knowing Bhagavatam. Rapt attention. And you cannot do that unless you're pure in mind. You can't be pure in mind if you're not pure in action. And you can't be pure in action if you're not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. So that's really hard. But Prabhupada gives us a concession in his last sentence. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning you can see Krishna in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why we should hear Bhagavatam. Krishna is there. So that was the first verse of his prayer. That was the first verse. There's 5 verses. The second verse, Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhu. So he's the prana of the devotees. Bhagavatam is our life, air. If we don't get Bhagavatam, we can't breathe. We can't live. So, yes. So Prabhupada in a lecture in Geneva said, don't waste time. As much as possible, try to hear Bhagavatam. The Vaishnavanam Priyam. It's very dear to the Vaishnavas, especially in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada said, you'll find they're always reading Bhagavatam. That is their life and soul. Bhagavatam is so nice. If you practice anywhere, any condition, simply by reading Bhagavatam, you will be happy. So if you're not happy, here's what you have to do. Read Srimad Bhagavatam. Then the next part of that second verse is about Kali Twantotita Aditya Shri Krishna Parivartita. You are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You're actually Lord Krishna who has returned among us. So we have the incarnation of the holy name, and we have the incarnation of Srimad Bhagavatam with us here. Kali, yes, and now Krishna has left in Dwarpa Yuga personally, but he has returned among us. As the Bhagavatam says, that this Bhagavat Purana is brilliant like the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Krishna. So the sun of Krishna has set, and the sun of Bhagavatam has risen. I think somebody was mentioning Bhagavat Arka Marichimala yesterday, yes. So the sun of the Bhagavatam, it has risen, and we can take advantage. Now there's, of course, another sun that has arisen in this age of Kali, and that is Lord Chaitanya, sun and moon together, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, that is Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda. To sahodito gaude doi pushwan to chito sanda tamonida. So I offer my obeisances to Lord Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, like the sun and the moon, who have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda. So in that Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, first chapter, around verse like 97 to 100, it's described what happens. And Bhagavatam is included there. Their first Gornitai have arisen, and they come to dissipate the darkness of the inner core of our heart. And they have what happens when the darkness is dissipated? We meet the two Bhagavatas, the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. We meet the two Bhagavatas. So what happens next? Then the Bhagavatas give us bhakti. And after we get bhakti, what happens next? Then we can control Krishna by our love. And so all this, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping Gornitai, and this is their mercy. So the third verse of the Sanatana Goswami's prayer, Paramananda Pataya, Prema Varshakshraya Te. O Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances to you by reading you one attains transcendental bliss. For your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. So isn't that interesting? When we chant these verses, it's like a rain of love of God. It's a rain of prema when we chant these verses today. All these verses. It will act some. We may not feel it right now. Give it some time. And keep hearing Bhagavatam. Keeping yourself in the rain of prema. So Prabhupada said each and every word of Bhagavatam is full of volumes of meaning. Each and every word is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you understand Bhagavatam, your education is finished. You have the highest education. And Bhagavatam begins where Gita ends. Sarva dharma pritaja, mamaikam sharanam vraja, surrender to Krishna, give up all varieties of dharma. And the second verse of Bhagavatam, Tarma Pochita Paita Vatra, that this, we reject all cheating dharma. First thing is said in Bhagavatam, Gita is at the end, Bhagavatam is at the beginning. All cheating religions are kicked out from Srimad Bhagavatam. So then, Bhagavatam has the purpose also of same purpose as Lord Chaitanya. He came to distribute Krishna prema, and Bhagavatam is also doing that, beginning with surrender to Krishna. That's where it begins. So the third verse, Sarvada, Sarvasevyaya, Shri Krishnaya Namo Stute. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Again, the word Sarvada we discussed in our last class. Anyone can be qualified to serve Krishna. Nectar of Devotion says the human beings, anyone born is a human being, but and that purport, Prabhupada says even insects, even. I saw one bird serving the deities in Vrindavan, pigeons, they come in our temple. And we have these big, huge doors in front of the deities. And on top of the doors, there were flower petals. And the birds were flapping their wings, and the petals, they were cleaning the temple. And the rose petals were coming, the old flower petals were coming down. So anybody, even the animals, can serve Krishna. I thought, yeah, especially in Vrindavan. Especially in Vrindavan. Maybe not the monkeys, though. But, yes. So you are always to be served by everyone. Jiva Swarupoi Krishna Chidas. Now, in Tatvasandarbha, he quotes Skanda Purana. He says, what is the use of collecting hundreds or thousands of other scriptures? If someone living in Kali Yuga does not have Bhagavatam in his home, how can he be considered a Vaishnava? So, yeah. We were hearing this one devotee, I forgot his name, Mahotsaha in Atlanta. One day he distributed 34 Bhagavatam sets. And so many other books besides that too, right? 34. So if you have Bhagavatam in your house, then you're considered a Vaishnava. Yes. Here in Skanda Purana it says, a brahmana who doesn't have Bhagavatam in his home is worse than a dog eater. Wherever in Kali Yuga Bhagavatam is present, Lord Hari will go along with 13 principal demigods. Any human being who daily reads with devotion even one verse of Bhagavatam will obtain the benefits of studying all 18 Puranas. So keep Bhagavatam. If you don't have Bhagavatam, then get one set of Bhagavatam. So fourth verse, what ekabandho matsangin. Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam, my only friend, my companion. Madguru man mahadhana, oh my teacher, oh my great wealth. Manishtarakamat bhagya, oh my deliverer, oh my good fortune. Mad ananda namostite, oh my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. So again, Tatvasandarbha, it describes there's three ways of teaching in the Vedas. The Vedas, Puranas, and poetic works instruct one like a master, a friend, or a beloved, respectively. But Bhagavatam teaches one as all three. Instructs. Sometimes Bhagavatam is like heavy, like a master, like the second verse, kick out all cheating religions. And also sometimes like a friend and sometimes like a beloved. So, the Vedas are very heavy. They say you have to follow the Vedas. You have to accept. That's it. They're very heavy. They don't need to offer logical reasons for following their instructions. One's expected to obey without question. Then the Puranas instruct like a friend, narrating stories with moral conclusions and giving reasoned explanations. When required. Then Kavya, the poetic literature, gives counsel like a beloved lady, speaking sweetly but indirectly. So that's the poetic work. So Bhagavatam uses all three of these methods. Some examples of the heavy guru is like Narada chastising Vyasadeva, why did you write these Vedas? They're like candy-covered medicine. The people will take the candy and throw away the medicine. So he got chastised for writing the Vedas, can you imagine? And then, like a friend, Narada telling the story of his life, the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And then, like a poet, this 10th canto, we have the gopis. Davakatam vritam dapta jivanam kavibir iditam kalmashap. Shavanamangalam Shimadatatam Bhuviganantiye Puridajmaha. The nectar of your words and descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. So isn't that interesting? The gopis were talking about how these narrations are broadcast all over the world. That was 5,000 years ago. They're preachers. The gopis are preachers. Yes. They're not just thinking for themselves. They're thinking for others, too. And so, yeah, that's poetry. So much, so many beautiful gopi gitas. So many gitas in 10th canto by the gopis. So many gitas. So many songs. Poetic. Then the last verse of Sanatana Goswami's prayers. Asadhu, sadhuta, tayin, atini, chochatarka. This is for us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen. Yeah, so we want to be uplifted. We need to be uplifted. And Bhagavatam is there. If we hear, if we're anxious to hear, then we will be lifted to the Paramahansa level, even if we're not there yet. So we have to keep hearing. And the last part of his prayer, Hanamunchikarachinmam Premna Hrit Kantayoswara. Please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. So yes, we hear in the eighth canto, there's a prayer. It says Bhagavatam comes, if you hear Bhagavatam, it comes, sits on the lotus of your heart and cleanses all the mud from the heart. And if once your heart is cleansed, then by devotional service, you're always at the lotus feet of Krishna. Just like a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. So we're all traveling. We're all travelers here in this world. And where is home? I know when I was traveling last 10 years before COVID, and I never knew. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, I didn't know where I was. And so it was very difficult to know where is home. And then I read this verse, okay, home is the lotus feet of Krishna, so that's where I have to stay. But sometimes I would wake up, I would see what language was there, to see what country am I in now. Because it was difficult traveling. So where is home? Where, for us also, we may think we have home, but it's temporary. We're not going to be here that long. Especially now we're over 70. time is clicking. Clock is clicking. And time is going to be up soon. Okay, so we have to read Bhagavatam, hear Bhagavatam, and be purified. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. We hear regularly about the swan that can separate milk from water. Mm-hmm. Where was this exhibited?
Well, it must be 5,000 years ago. Shukadeva must have seen it. So that's why he would say that. I guess you could make a test if you get a swan and give it some milk mixed with water and see what happens. There are swans. I've seen swans in Denmark, in the city. In the they have lakes in the city and there's swans there. But it would be good to make that experiment and see. It doesn't say where it has been done. But it says it has been done. It would be interesting, yes.
Could we request you to kindly read it for us?
Pardon me?
There was a footnote.
Oh, you want the footnote?
Please.
Okay.
Is it by Prabhupada?
I don't know. No, it's by Prabhupada, yeah. I read the footnote. It's definitely Prabhupada.
Yeah.
So you don't have it in your book? You have it in your book, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll read the footnote. Well, it's a footnote to a sentence, a really long sentence. So here's the sentence. It's like a 6-line sentence. Here's the sentence. The propaganda that the Lord is impersonal, that he has no activity, and that he is a dumb stone without any name and form has encouraged people to become godless, faithless demons, and the more they deviate from the transcendental activities of the Lord, the more they become accustomed to mundane activities that only clear their path to hell instead of return them home back to Godhead. So here's the footnote. Even 50 years ago, the social structure of all Indians was so arranged that they would not read any literature that was not connected with the activities of the Lord. 50 years ago, that must have been in the 20s, 1920s. They would not organize a fair or ceremony not connected with the Lord. Nor would they visit a place that was not holy and sanctified by pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, even the common man in the village would talk about Ramayana and Mahabharata, Gita and Bhagavatam, even from his childhood. But by the influence of the age of Kali, they had been dragged to the civilization of the dogs and hogs, laboring for bread without any sense of transcendental knowledge. Interesting purport. Interesting footnote. Yes.
I was wondering,
you have quoted Uddhava Gita, 11th canto, 7th chapter.
Yeah.
The sadhus or devotees are compared to water because it purifies. But what about the air? Through the dryness also purifies, Bhagavatam says. Yeah. Also fire purifies by burning the impurities of mantra also purifies. So why compared to only water?
No, in Uddhava Gita they're also compared to air and fire. Fire purifies, the pure devotee can purify. It's also there. Fire is there, air is there, but air is it's the Sanskrit is prana for air. Not air, but prana, like inside and outside. Like there's air outside and there's air inside.
Well, Jayava Dharma says there are 5 kinds of air. Bhagavatam says 10 types of air.
Yeah.
But out of 5 types of air, prana is not air.
Yeah.
It's a life care, query the soul.
Yeah.
But apana, bhyana, udana, samana, this stays, this dissolve with the body.
Yeah. So
but the prana carries the soul.
Yeah,
so it's so very special.
Yeah, 11th canto, that prana is chosen by Krishna.
Yes, yes.
As representative of air.
So you have picked up the sadhu's behavior like water? That's your preference? I was just curious.
No, I just did that because if the word was poetic.
Oh, I see.
Speaking.
I see. Water sound.
Yeah, sound, yeah.
I see.
I used that one because to connect with the poetic, the speech. Because poetic is about speech, to be poetic. Mm. So then I connected it with the water, which is speech of the devotee. Mm. That's how I connected it.
That's nice. Thank you. I was also wondering, like in Mahabharata and Ramayana, I mean there is a Narayan Stotram, Vishnu Sahasranam, Bhagavad Gita. How can you say this is, I'm not challenging,
but Mahabharata.
Even Narad Muni was like chastising, as you mentioned, even Prabhupada, why is for less intelligent? I mean to surrender, Bhagavad Gita end with surrender.
Oh. Why is Mahabharata for less intelligent?
Yeah.
Because the Vedas is just there is Prabhupada quotes also that Sri Suja Dvija Bandhunam Chayi Na Veda Gochara. That the women, the Shujas and the friends of the Brahmins are not qualified to study the Vedas. So there's Shruti and there's Smriti. So Shruti, in Kali Yuga, nobody is qualified to study because Kalo Shudra Sambhava, everybody's born Shudra. Nobody in Kali Yuga is qualified to study the Vedas. Therefore, we have the Smritis. In Kali Yuga, it's just everyone is less intelligent. This is the problem. Kalo Shudra Sambhava, everybody is Shudra. So it's a technical thing that we are qualified, therefore we have the Smriti. Mahabharata, Ramayana, Gita, Bhagavatam. We have the Smriti. We don't need the Vedas, we have the Smriti. And besides that, the Vedas mostly deal with these sacrifices, which nobody can perform in this age. I think 94% it's described as these ritualistic ceremonies.
But then you say, Sarva Vedanta Saram hi Srimad Bhagavatam Ishvata.
Yes.
So Bhagavatam is the essence of everything.
Yes. That's why we don't.
That's more for most intelligent people.
Yes, exactly. Paramahansa Samhita.
So in one sense, they are not less intelligent.
No, exactly.
Okay.
It's technical. It's technical. Technically, Shudras cannot study the Vedas. It's a technical thing, so therefore,
I'll be quick.
For Kali Yuga, we have Smriti.
Technically, the Bhagavad Gita is in the Mahabharat, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's less intelligent to say it's less intelligent to read the Mahabharat. But also, this verse, that statement is being presented to, like, the most exalted people imaginable in any sphere of existence. Everybody's less intelligent to them. So for them to sit down and start reading Mahabharat while Sukadeva Goswami's talking to Maharaj Pariksit would seem to be a little distracting, perhaps, from the opportunity that was available at the time. But, anyway, here we go. We have a guest.
Hare Krishna. I liked what you shared about the sadhus being like water, because the Tao Te Ching, which is one of the Asian scriptures, Tao meaning the way of heaven and earth, it says that the Tao is like water, for it flows into the lowest places where men do not wish to dwell and nourishes all of life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I was also thinking about the differentiation between the scriptures and who's more intelligent. If you like water, it doesn't really matter. If you see the super soul in everything, it doesn't matter if it's a Vaishnava or a devotee of Ram or Hanuman or a Shivite or a Christian or a Muslim. Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else have a question? Go ahead. Jai, a glorious Shiva Prabhupada.